104.7's Ryan and Tanya. Get up with Ryan and Tanya. They're just like you, only much weirder. For a faulty joint replacement compensation claim, mej.com.au. Hit 104.7.
Now, Tanya and I, Natanya's not here today, but we were looking for answers about work-life balance and for future for ourselves, parent-life balance, as it were, because I know a lot of young families sort of struggle to cope with, you know, the demands of being a parent and continuing on with their work lives and stuff like that. So we put a call through to Justin Coulson, who is a PhD and parenting expert. We spoke with him yesterday after the show. Tanya and I are both in our early 30s and don't have children, but and without wanting to put words in your mouth, Tan, we probably both go through phases of, yeah, we should do it, yeah, we should do it.
Let's do it. Get away.
Is that normal?
Yeah, you know it is.
Did you ever thought I'm ready for this, though?
well, we can fool ourselves into believing that we are, but once they hit us with it, we just sort of, we say, wow, that was unexpected. I wonder what I should do now. It's a tough gig. And I know some parents are probably saying, what's he going on about? It's not that hard. To them, I would say, just wait.
One of the reasons why I'm sort of not quite willing to be like, yeah, let's do this, let's have kids with my partner Bridget is I don't think I know enough about how to be a dad or what a dad's supposed to do. And I think the fear of me being a bad dad, I think it's just easier to not be a dad.
Mm.
Is there any ways to sort of get past that fear, or does everyone go through that same thing, or sort of, yeah, how do I get past this bit?
My advice, Ryan, is you'll never be ready. And at some point you've just got to kind of dive in and keep your fingers crossed. And then love them like crazy, even when you don't think that you could possibly love them again.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will be concerned about, you know, they've been working hard on their small business, or they've been working hard at uni and they're working hard to get that next big job, and they kind of have this fear that, oh, if I become a parent, that everything I've worked towards, I'm going to throw it away because I'll just become someone who just has to get what I have to do done at work so I can get home and spend most of my time and effort with my family. So what advice do you have for people who still might be ambitious in other parts of their life and are scared that starting a family is going to detract from whatever else they're doing?
I mean, I've concentrated a little bit as we've talked on the negatives, on the hard stuff. But I'll tell you what, some of the joys of being a parent are simply irreplaceable. Mm. When you nurse this little baby off to sleep and you look down at her or him in your arms and you think, my goodness, this is just perfect. Or, you know, when you read them stories and tuck them in at night as they get a bit older and you stare into their eyes as they nod off and watch them literally fall asleep right in front of you, and you think, this is sublime.
Yeah, I think, like, hearing that, Justin, like, it's so emotional for me because I've never wanted to be a mother. And when I turned 30, all of a sudden, I was like, oh, this is something I have to do. And when I hear you talk about, like, all the exciting, cool things, it's like, kind of, I'm so sorry to get upset, but it's like really scary for me because I really want to be a mum, but I also don't want to give up everything that I've worked towards, as you said, and you know, you can't have it all. So it's like, it is managing that. And I'm so scared to give up being Tanya Hennessy because I'm going to become someone's mum. And I just don't know if I can do that. And this has become counselling incredibly intensely. And I do apologise.
Okay, Tanya, I don't think we can do therapy on the radio, but this much I can tell you. When you have children, you make a commitment to forever live with your heart walking around outside your body.
Mm.
Yeah. What happens if one person in the relationship is really, really keen to have children and the other one is not so much? Like, what impact can that have in your experience on a relationship?
Let's take the stereotypical example. It's not always like this, but let's take the most common example. The woman in the relationship is desperate for a child.
For the hypothetical, let's call that woman Bridget and let's call the guy Ryan.
Right. So in some cases, you'll find that it can destroy the relationship, plain and simple. It's so helpful to be on the same page when you're making major decisions. But in other cases, I've seen men and women in some circumstances, but usually men, absolutely have an incredible transformation as they pick up that child for the first time.
Ryan, are you kidding me? You want to have a kid. I know you do. It's just the timing for you.
I can hear it in Ryan's voice.
Well, everyone's an expert.
Justin actually is an expert, so you can take that advice.
Yeah, well,
and I feel like you should hear his advice more seriously because he is an expert.
Well, I have, and I have spent some time at happyfamilies.com, isn't it, Justin, where we can find a lot of your...
Happyfamilies.com.au, yeah.
Yeah, where a lot of great stuff on this thing, and also once you are a parent, obviously lots of stuff on there. Mm-hmm. Justin, thank you so much for spending some time with us today and indulging us.
You're welcome. Go home and make babies.
Not together, Ryan. Oh. With your partner.
Okay, right.
Get up with Ryan and Tanya. Hit 104.7.
About 3 hours ago, there was another Apple convention. And when there's an Apple convention, it's like Woodstock for nerds.
It's huge.
It's massive. Now, our tech reporter is Charlie Brown. You might have seen him on the Today Show explaining all the technology stuff. He's been covering it. Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you going?
Real good. And the whole world is always really excited when Apple comes out with a new conference. So, first of all, the iPhone X, what is it? What can you tell us about it? Is it as cool as it sounds?
Well, the first thing I can tell you is they're calling it the iPhone X. Now, we all went around
I just saw an X. Yeah.
Well, we all went around saying, oh, it's the X. But when they actually announced it during the presentation, they called it the X. But the interesting thing is what they've done is what all phone companies have tried to do, which is make the screen basically take up the whole front of the phone. The idea of that is that when you're watching a movie or looking at your content, you're seeing it in the biggest area or display area possible, right? Like, we all want that. But the other thing...
God, what a scary selfie that would be.
And they've removed the home button. They've also built in facial recognition technology, which unfortunately had a bit of a blip during the presentation. They had to go to the backup phone.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there's about 18 guys that have probably been fired about an hour ago.
That's so awkward.
And it's amazing the technology they've gotten it, but other manufacturers do similar technologies to open your phone just as quickly, right? So it's like, yeah, okay, that's great. Move on to the next bit. The next bit is the design of it. You'll love it. It'll be great. It's going to feel comfortable in your hand, but... Guys, honestly, the price, I don't know what your salaries are like, but at $1,579 for the 64 gig model alone and $1,829 for the 256 gig model, that's a lot of money for a smartphone.
That's a lot of
Do you reckon it's going to stop people from lining up, though, for days in advance? I think people will still really want it, though.
Well, I think what Apple has done is quite clever, right? Because this is their 10th year. They had to do something special for their 10th year. Look, it will make us look like world-class innovators once again. Not everyone will be able to afford it, but they'll buy the 8 or the 8 Plus, right? That's what they'll do.
Yeah, just quickly, I see that they've... Yeah, so we've gone sort of from 7 to 10. So what happens to the 8, the 8 Plus and a 9? Have we just skipped those steps or what's the deal?
Well, we've got the 8 and we've got the 8 Plus. That's in there as well, but it just doesn't have the same level of innovation as the 10. The other thing with 9, I don't know, maybe they'll come out with 9 next year. Who knows?
Charlie, you yourself, do you wear an Apple Watch?
No, I don't. But can I tell you, I was just writing a piece for my website about Apple Watch probably being the one of the biggest innovations at this event, and the reason for that is they're doing some very cool stuff with personal health. And I've got a family member who had an irregular heartbeat. If they'd been wearing this next feature or had access to the next feature on this Apple Watch, it would have been diagnosed years and years earlier because they're now going to be monitoring for that. I mean, you take the Apple Watch from a nice-to-have thing that you wear for apps and, you know, and a bit of email and all that kind of stuff on your wrist. Add in health benefits, add in a personal trainer, which they're going to have, add in the fact that it will be connecting to Telstra, Optus or Vodafone's phone networks when it launches directly from the watch without having to go through your phone. All of a sudden, you've got a pretty clever little device, and I think it's the best announcement from them for a long time. Unfortunately, overshadowed by the fact that iPhone X was announced on the same day.
Well, I'm glad that the watch seems like it's going to have heaps of benefits because, to be honest, the only thing I saw iPhone watches or whatever they were called previously is just telling the rest of the world who's a wanker and who's not. So it seems like we've got some real innovation there today, which is good news. Charlie Brown, thank you so much for keeping us up to date, mate. We really appreciate it.
Always good to check, guys.
Get up with Ryan and Tanya. Hit 104.7.
Ryan and Tanya's Try Before You Buy.
All right, so how this works is I call someone who's selling something on Gumtree and I'll see if they'll let me really try it out before I make the purchase, and I'll stop the call, and Kat and Matt, you'll decide if yes, they're going to let me use it or no.
What's your success rate been so far, you
probably
reckon?
50-50, do you reckon, Matt?
No, not even close. but I'm always a hard yes man because I'm a positive guy.
Yeah. But no, when you say positive, you believe that everyone is so hard up for a sale that they'll let you do anything.
Yeah.
Now, Kat, today's item is it's not a traditional hair straightener. It's like a hair straightening brush. Like it's a brush that you plug in.
Oh, okay.
That's sort of an in-between thing.
That heats up and you brush and straighten.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Now, just in general with sort of hair care products and like personal items, is that something you would like to purchase off someone else?
GHDs, for example, are quite expensive.
Yep.
So, I probably would buy like a friend's or something.
But it's not gross?
I don't think so. Like I share, like my friends and I always share a straightener. Like if we go away together, we'll just take one because there's no point all packing each other's.
Okay, well, let's see
how we go. That could be weird though. Yeah. I could be disgusting.
Right, let's see how we go here.
Hello?
Hi, is that Les?
Speaking.
Yeah, hey Les, my name's Ryan. Just calling about the hair straightener brush that you've got for sale on Gumtree.
Oh. Yeah, thanks for the call.
Yeah, so I was wondering, is it in good nick? Sometimes on Gumtree, things have been used for years and aren't any good anymore. How's this looking?
Yeah, well, I used it maybe two or three times, and then I put it in a box under the bed. So it's pretty good nick, and I cleaned it off for the pictures and that. So, but you can come and have an inspection if you want. It works perfectly well, and it's pretty new looking.
When you say inspection, is it okay if I try it before I buy it? I've got a big Saturday night planned and I thought if I bring me and my curly hair over and just really give it a straighten and a bit of a mousse, get ready for a big Saturday night, if I really try it out before I buy it, is that all right? Because I feel like if I used it and then I went out and all the ladies loved it, then I'd be like, yes, this is the hair straightening brush for me. All right, so that's where we leave it. Is she going to let me try it?
I reckon 100% yes.
Kat's a yes.
Yeah.
1,000,000% yes. So when you start with a thanks for the call, that's salesman 101. Thanking the other person for just calling? She's hard up for it. That is a firm yes.
All right, let's have a listen, see how we go.
I'm not sure about trying it out like that. You can test it at the shaver shop. They've got a similar one there if you wanted to do that.
What? Les. How dare you?
Les.
I did not see that coming.
She's like, no, you can try one at the store.
You can come and inspect it, but you can't touch it. That's ridiculous.
And that's rubbish, Les, and that's why you'll never see a dime out of me.
Get up with Ryan and Tanya. Hit 104.7.
Let me tell you a story about two of my best mates, Liam and Phil. They've been together for 12 years. 12 years. So they're about 30 now and they, like,
oh,
high
wow.
school sweetheart, like met straight out of high school.
That's awesome.
Been together for 12 years. And one of the main reasons that I feel weird and not quite right maybe about Bridget and I getting married is that I feel like dumb and a little bit guilty that I can know Bridget for 2 years and be like, look at us, we're married. But Liam and Phil, who have been living together for 8 or 9 years, together for 12, and they can't. And I thought, I can't have them at my wedding. I'd be like just showing off in front of them. But then I can't not have them there. They're my best friends. Like, it's ridiculous. So it just puts me in a weird spot.
Yeah.
So anyway, there are two of these guys. They live in this two-bedroom house in a little complex, and it's one of those ones where all the houses are the same. So you've been into one apartment, you've seen them all type thing. So they're all two bedrooms. And they didn't realise, but until now, the guy next door thought they were like just two great mates.
Two housemates?
Just two housemates. Yeah. Just two guys just hanging out, you know, in the two-bedroom house doing the right thing. And they've put up the rainbow flag in the front bedroom in the window to kind of show off the colours to the street.
Yep.
And that's starting to happen around town. Have you guys seen a little bit of that going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like it. I like it. People are like, you know, fighting the good fight. I'm digging it. So the front bedroom is always like the second bedroom, and it's got the big master bedroom down the back of the house. And again, all the houses are the same. So the neighbours sort of chatting to Phil in the driveway, and they're just having a chinwag after work. And the guy goes, oh, I see you've got the flag up. Is that you or the other guy? Who's got the thing up? And Phil goes, oh, no, that's neither of our room, that's the spare room.
Oh.
And then Phil says you can see the guy's mind sort of doing the maths. There's two guys and there's only two bedrooms, and how can you have a spare room? You've got two people in two rooms, how do you have a spare? Surely you would just have one. It's like, it can't be a three-bedroom house because obviously all the houses are the same. I know it's a two-bedroom house because I've got the same house. They must have a spare room. Oh, God.
Hang on.
These guys must be sharing a room and they've got a gay pride flag. I mean, they must be. And Phil's like, don't worry about it, mate. We're in bunk beds. Nothing to worry about here. Plenty of room for activities.
Get up with Ryan and Tanya. Hit 104.7.
Cat from the newsroom filling in for 10 today. And 131060, where did you get stuck?
I'm a terrible pet owner or parent, whichever way you want to think of it.
It is pet owner.
No, parent also. I was just letting my dog Oreo run around yesterday while I was in the park kicking a footy, and I wasn't watching him because I was trying to focus, and he's stuck in a drain.
He got stuck in the drain.
Yes.
With his fat butt holding him in.
He's got a lot of junk in that trunk.
In Queanbeyan, Louise, was it you that got stuck?
I did. I got stuck in the mix master with my hair.
The mix?
The kitchen appliance?
The kitchen appliance. I have long hair and I wasn't concentrating, and I sort of went forward to check if the cake was ready, and my hair took off in it.
Oh my God, that could have ripped your head off. Like,
Yeah, it can, yeah.
Was it spinning?
It was spinning. Lucky I could rip the cord out very quickly.
Oh my God. Mm. That is it's sort of hilarious, but it's also so dangerous.
I'm really holding back from just really giggling. I'm so sorry, but I just would really wanted to see that.
Louise, and what happened? Did you lose a bit of hair? Did you have to cut yourself out of it? What happened in the end?
Well, my beloved sons, after nearly wetting themselves laughing,
feel better.
Came to help me, and we sort of soaked my hair as far as I could, and we had to hack it off at the side.
Oh my gosh.
How much did you lose? How many inches?
About a foot.
Whoa!
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I have hair up to my shoulders now.
Well, that'll teach you.
Yeah.
Don't cook, obviously.
For those of you who don't know Kat as well as I do, Kat is an awful cook.
Yeah.
And a terrible host of dinner parties.
That's really hurtful. You've told me before that I'm a great host.
Well, you're great because you let other people into the kitchen to cook the food. True. Which is a great job. And for you to find a new excuse to not cook or prepare anything.
I can't. My hair will get caught in the mix master. I just can't.
In Franklin, Marcus, what happened to you?
A long time ago, it's a combination of the two things I'm scared of the most, height and water. Big water slide, and you know, I had to go down on this rubber mat, and the stepfather was like, let's go, and mum was all scared, and he's like, no, he'd be fine.
Yep.
He'd be fine. So I get up top, go down, about a quarter of the way down, and somehow I lose the mat, and then you just kind of get stuck to the slide.
Wedged.
So then I'm just like screaming and everything, don't know how to get down, and just like everyone just kept coming behind me and just like, whack. And it just kept getting worse, and suddenly this guy came down, and I still remember to this day, he's got like one hand on the mat. And he was just like, the arm out, got me, and just like slid all the way down kind of thing. My stepfather's down there, and he's just like, yeah, that wasn't a good idea.
I like that it was like a traffic jam almost, that you were just holding everyone up. Oh.
Yeah. So with every whack, it was just like, is this the time I'm actually going to go over the edge and die? But
you didn't budge with every person?
Yeah, it was not a fun experience, but as I said, it was a long time ago. But
I was going to say, you say it's all good now and it was a long time ago, but it feels like, Marcus, you've still got some pretty deep scars there.
I'm getting that too.
Well, the thing that's still just locked in my memory is just that guy. He looked like Santa Claus. Like, big guy, bald head kind of thing, like the beard and everything, and he just like had the arm out ready just to catch me and just take me down. I was just like... Yeah, thanks, guy.
Oh, God. Not only is it a horrific experience, but he's ruined every Christmas for himself for the rest of his life.
Bald,
and apparently Santa's bald now. Finish this for us. In Belconnen, Belinda, your son, where did he get stuck?
In the toy vending machine up in Darwin.
Yep, this is my favourite.
Was he, like, reaching in to try and grab, like to steal from it, essentially?
Steal from it.
Yep. Karma. That is a prime example of karma.
How long did he, how did he actually get stuck? Was his arm sort of wedged in there?
No, he climbed in there.
How old was he?
Yeah.
Two.
Oh, so he's like in the vending machine.
In the vending machine.
How'd you get him out? Did you use the claw to try and win him back?
No.
Oh.
We ended up getting centre management involved, who tried to get hold of the people that owned the vending machine, and they couldn't get hold of him, so we had to get the fireys there to get him out.
Oh my God.
What a story for his 21st.
The fire, I don't know why, it just reminds me of the Simpsons episode where Homer's got his arm in there.
Yeah.
And then they say, you're not just holding the can, are you?
Yeah.
As they're about to push his arms. Yeah. That's unbelievable. Although being actually inside there, is that a nightmare for you, Kat, or the dream?
Well, honestly, being surrounded by all those toys, it would be an absolute dream.
Hit 104.7.